Welcome to the 1 o'clock no sour haha funny hour. No sour, happy, fun time, haha, power hour. Welcome to the no sour fun time haha power hour.
Oh, she did it.
I got it.
I think she's got it.
By George, he's got it. Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time, this is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
What can go in your blue bin? Do you think you know? As far as when you're sorting through your things that you do not want in your house anymore, if it goes in the garbage, if it goes in the blue bin... How good are you at knowing where it should actually go and what you can do with it to be a responsible world citizen and do your part as far as our environment is concerned?
Recycling.
And I found this because we talked about this a little bit on Friday, mm-hmm. ahead of Earth Day, and discussing some of the small things that we can try to do to produce less waste or do something with the waste that we produce. And I found this quiz. The Washington Post actually put this little quiz out. And so I thought we would take it, Jane Matinair, and see how well we know what you can do with the different items that accumulate.
I feel fairly confident.
Do you?
Which means that I will probably suck, but to continue.
No, we'll see. You may be better than me, but there's 8 questions. So if you're listening, play along at home. We will put this quiz on the show notes on asgoeswisconsin.com/listen so you can ask your friends or get in the information that we talk about later on. But question number 1, plastic bags are recyclable. So they just go in the bin, right? Option 1, yes, anything that is recyclable can go in the bin. No, take plastic bags to the grocery store.
The second one.
All right.
Don't throw them in the bin.
Correct. Not everything that is technically recyclable can go in your household bin because of how the sorting system works. A conveyor belt carries the jumble of items through several machines that separate out typical household items into various bunkers. Cardboard, paper, plastic, aluminum, steel, and in some places, glass. There's a lot of tumbling, spinning, whirling, and flinging.
Oh, lots of flinging.
I want to know what flinging. Flinging feels like a booger getting flung across the room.
I want to be operating the flinging machine. That's my job.
Because of plastic bags and other rogue machine snaggers, such as hanger wires. Ooh, that's a good one.
Oh, yeah.
Hoses. Who's recycling hoses?
Yeah, don't do that. And Christmas lights.
And that was literally the next one listed. Christmas lights. There's a lot of tangling.
Yep.
So at the Republic Services Materials Recovery Facility in Manassas, Virginia, where a large portion of Northern Virginia's single-stream recycling is sorted, plastic bags are a perpetual problem. They wrap around machinery and are especially menacing to star screens, which are rotating rubber star-shaped discs to move cardboard to its bunker. So you can recycle bags, so you don't have to just throw them out and they'll end up like suffocating some turtle in the ocean.
Right.
But just don't put them in your bin.
Just collect a bag of bags, and then when you go to the grocery store, take your bag of bags. Almost everyone has a recycling place, a little bin where you put your bag of bags.
And then they just make new bags? They melt them down and make new bags?
I hope they do something productive with all of those.
Because the truth is, those things are never, I feel like they're, unless you break them, they're never dirty. Like, they just need to be, like, relaid into their little packaging because they pull them out when,
right.
The way that you bag your bags. And so, it's like, you can probably, it's like the Ziploc bags. You can just reuse this, can't you?
Absolutely.
All right, next question. 2 out of 8. Do recyclables have to be totally clean and dry? Or more like, my dog licked out all the peanut butter, clean and dry. All right. I think that's not, we do that in our house. Option 1, squeaky clean and completely dry. Number 2, rinsed, even spot cleaned is usually good enough. 3, doesn't matter. Gunk will boil off in the process.
I will go with number 2, that it needs, you should rinse it.
Correct. You're 2 for 2 so far.
Look at that.
The cleaner, the better, but the items don't have to be immaculate to be recyclable. If you rinse well, shake out the water, and leave less than a teaspoon of residual goo, roughly a bottle cap full, it's fine.
Well, then I may as well wash the jar. Seriously, a teaspoonful, then just wash. Then
just wash
everything.
The jar.
Yes.
If you can't get a container that clean, it's better to throw it in the trash.
Oh, really?
That's interesting.
Oh, wow.
That extra peanut butter in the jar or soda in the can attract bugs or rodents to the sorting facility, and it can ooze all over other materials that cause problems for the mills.
We don't want oozing.
That's why grease-soaked, cheese-encrusted pizza boxes shouldn't go into recycling. But a basically clean pizza box with just a splotch of or two of grease is fine. That is good to know. I wouldn't have known that about the cardboard boxes. Of like, it's not about their ability to get them clean otherwise. It's just that the things, the little critters it attracts,
right,
is not helpful in this case.
I can see that. That makes sense.
All right. Number 3. Okay, no bags in the bin. Can all other plastics go in the bin? Sure, why not? Doesn't matter. Plastics never get recycled anyways. No, but bottles and jugs are accepted in most places.
I'm going with 3.
Correct. 3 for 3, Jane Madner. If you're just joining us, we are doing a post-Earth Day quiz about your knowledge on what is recyclable, what you can put in your bin at your home, and what you should maybe think about otherwise when it comes to recycling.
But twice.
Can all other plastics go in? No, but bottles and jugs are accepted in most places. There are many thorny reasons a lot of plastic is not recycled, and the issues are far too large to talk about in this quiz. But 2 types of plastic bottles and jugs have the best chance of being recycled, and they are accepted in bins in more than 80% of the country. You can recognize them by the little 1 or 2 inside the recycling symbols that are stamped onto containers. So when you're looking at your plastic bottles, you're looking for a 1 or a 2.
Okay.
So now I'm like, my brain just went to like one use water bottles, one use Gatorade bottles that are like thicker plastic.
Soda bottles, maybe.
Soda bottles, what number those are. But otherwise, no, not all plastic is recyclable.
Well, and
unfortunately.
That's, yeah, and that is unfortunate because I don't know about you, but my husband and I do a lot of hot bar foods that grocery stores offer now.
Oh, yeah, you know, like to-go items.
Really, yeah, but those are all individual plastics, and I keep some of them just to use at home.
I know, but then they accumulate, and you're like, what am
right.
I doing with all these?
And those aren't recyclable.
They're not?
I don't think so. If I'm wrong, please tell me. 844-967-2789, those you put your Salisbury steaks in there or whatever.
Yeah, it's your macaroni and cheese or whatever. It's your doggy bag.
Yeah.
It's like the to-go boxes from restaurants or your to-go boxes from you get like deliver your pickup. I did not know that those are not recyclable.
I might be stepping out of turn, but I do not believe they are recyclable.
All right. Number 4. Plastic caps and bottles seem like different things. So should I leave the caps off? Yes, that will help in sorting. Only if the cap is a different color than the bottle? Huh. No, the caps are too small by themselves.
I would go with the second one, no.
So there's 3.
Oh, there's 3.
So there's 1. 1, yes, that will help with the sorting. 2, only if the cap is a different color than the bottle. 3, no, the caps are too small by themselves.
I will go with 3 then.
You are crushing it.
Oh, wow.
Correct.
I can't wait to see my prize.
Recycle plastic caps on plastic bottles, even if they're made from different plastics. The bottles are fine without caps, but the caps shouldn't go in alone.
And do we really think that people would double check their bottles to see if the cap is a different color? Give me a break.
I can't even think of a bottle right now that has the same color as a cap because it's usually either clear plastic with a white cap.
Right, white cap.
Or like Gatorade has orange caps, but like they're usually not the same color anyways.
Yeah.
All right, number 5. Do I need to remove tape from boxes, staples from catalogs, and windows from envelopes? No, no, and no. Yes, yes, and yes.
Say it, read it again.
So when you're talking about like a cardboard box, mm-hmm. do you need to take the tape off? Or in your catalogs, do you need to take the staples out to recycle the paper? Or the little plastic part of an envelope, do you need to take that plastic little window off of the envelope?
I'm going to say no, because no one will do that.
You're right.
You Let should... me go through and cut out all the little window envelope windows.
That's a lot of time.
Never going to happen.
You should empty and break down cardboard boxes, which will save space in the truck and will make the cardboard easier to sort.
Yeah.
If you can, pull off the tape and throw it away, but you don't have to get rid of it at all. So that's that one. All right, we're going to march along because we only have 3 minutes left. Number six, cans and bottles get crushed anyways. So can I just do that myself to save space in my bin? One, yes, it's a fun party activity. Just ask the Belgians. Two, only if you can get them in to be very small and very flat. Three, no, the sorting machines may not recognize them.
I would go with three. The sorting machines may not recognize them.
You are. I don't think you've ever performed this well on any quiz we've ever done on this.
I don't know what to say.
Correct. Even though everything will eventually be compressed into bales, pre-smashing won't help and may keep those items from getting recycled. So this is going to crush my mother.
Does she crush cans?
Well, not. She doesn't crush cans. She has one of those things that can crush cans. And that is an Uncle Doug activity.
Oh.
He's very excited about crushing the cans. But now I have to inform her that, and him, that unfortunately that is maybe not helping anything, except they're saving space.
You'll have to find something else for him to crush.
No, we can probably do that. All right, number seven. What's the worst thing I can put in my bin? A, a bicycle. B, a battery. C, a car bumper. Bicycle. I'm gonna go. Bicycle or car bumper. I'm gonna say bicycle.
I'm going with battery.
All right, it's your quiz. So we're man.
Did I nail it?
Yeah, you nailed it.
Sweet.
Battery. Worst thing you can put in your bin. Plenty of other potential recyclable items shouldn't go in your bin because they are too large, too sharp, too weirdly shaped, or too dangerous for sorting machines to handle. But batteries are the super villains, especially lithium ion ones.
Yeah, don't do that.
Where should we take them?
You can take them to your county's waste dump.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll have to do number eight at the bottom of the hour, because that is which handy slogan helps consumers know whether something should go in the recycling bin. But when we come back, Jake Brandt from Habitat for Humanity will be here. Stay tuned. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
You are listening to As Goes Wisconsin, a product of Civic Media. Enjoy it live across Wisconsin, Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. until 2 p.m. Find your local station on our website, civicmedia.us, or on the Civic Media app, and catch any of your favorite shows as a podcast wherever you listen.
If you ever find yourself stuck in the middle of the sea, I'll sail the world to find you. If you ever find yourself lost in the dark and you can't see.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinere. And we are joined by Jake Brandt from Habitat for Humanity to talk about a surprising fundraiser. I'll leave it at that, but I want you to be able to tell the story, because this is a very great, feel-good, surprising turn of events that happened for you guys, isn't it?
Oh my gosh, just an amazing donation that came into our ReStore. So if you're not familiar with ReStore, they're essentially like a Goodwill, only for furniture, appliances, home decor, that sort of thing, selling all these things to the public that are primarily donated. And we had received this donation of about 300 prints and works of art. And the majority of it was, you know, your standard kind of landscapes, things like that. And as our ReStore staff and Franklin were paging through the items, they noticed a set of pieces that had more of a modern art vibe. And it sparked some interest. And so they decided to take a peek into it to see, all right, do we have something special here? And, you know, they did a little bit of research with a little help from some of our volunteers, and They found out that the collection had an estimated value of $25,000 to $35,000.
Oh my gosh.
And it's just a three panel piece, right, Jake?
That's exactly right. It's a three panel set of prints in the style of optical artwork, which I learned what that is recently.
And is this like the I Spy from the 90s? Or just so you have to like soften your eyes to be able to see
right.
the thing?
That's what I thought at first too. You know, I was crossing my eyes, trying to see the elephant between it. But it turns out her work has been skyrocketing in value lately, according to some of our friends at Hinman Auctions who helped to identify this for us. And, you know, they shocked us, saying that, oh, this hidden treasure amongst all of these works of art may have this tremendous value. And so the auction went on actually last Thursday, and we were all kind of on the edge of our seat, like, what's going to happen here? And I was watching live. The bids just started rolling in, going up and up and up, with the final bid selling the works for $88,200.
That is... So it's like 3X what you guys were even expecting.
It's absolutely mind-blowing. We were just so humbled and appreciative, you know, of one, the donor to give such an amazing set of
works. Do you think the donor knew what they had?
You know, that was the first thing that we did when we found this collection, is we went to the donor and we were like, hey, is okay. this all right? Did you mean to donate this?
Yeah.
And They neither confirmed nor denied that they knew that was in there, because it was housed away in some of their warehouse space, just to kind of excess material that they had. But they were so gracious to say, you know what, that's so exciting. We love that you found this and found extra value in it. And, you know, they just couldn't be more pleased to see that it went for even more than the estimated value.
And so put that into context, what does $88,000 mean for Milwaukee's Habitat for Humanity?
Absolutely. So that's really like roughly the equivalent of sponsoring an entire Habitat home.
That's
and so this is huge. I mean, usually we're selling, you know, at Restore, a couch for $100 or, you know, a sink for $20, things like that. So to have an $88,000 donation come through our Restores is just tremendous. Our Restore staff, their jaws were just on the floor when they heard this final total. And it's just a really exciting time for them.
Gosh, you'd have to sell like 99,000 doorknobs, Jake, to make $88,000. That's just spectacular. I got chills when you sent me that email. I'm just so happy for you. It's fabulous.
It really is amazing. I mean, it just goes to show that you never know what treasures are going to come through our Restores. You know, I remember one time a longtime customer ran up to me in the parking lot, and he's running up to me with a baseball bat in hand. So it's
you're like,
frightening. Yeah, what's happening now? And he says, Jake, I found this baseball bat in your sporting goods section. I bought it for $2. It turns out it was a game-used bat by a 1950 St. Louis Cardinal.
Wow.
What? Are you kidding me? So you just never know.
You never know. I mean, my husband's really into sports cards. And so there's stories like that all the time, like with collectibles, of just whether it's art, whether it's sports cards, whether it's Pokemon, whether it's Beanie Babies. Like, there's still things that people are going to pay a pretty penny to have. And so Jake, beyond this very exciting news, anything else coming up this spring for Habitat?
You know, we are in the midst of our construction season right now. We are, all the proceeds that we're raising here are all going to break down the barriers to affordable homeownership for first-time buyers. And so we're just really excited that these funds will help us go towards that mission.
Absolutely. We talked to Dr. Ben Weston earlier today about the Housing First program and how that's helping with opioid prevention and like how all of this is tied together. So we're so lucky to have such a great Habitat for Humanity program in Milwaukee County and Southeast Wisconsin. And so it could not have happened to a better organization to have such a windfall with this art. And I just I'm looking at it now. I'm not sure. I got to be honest. Had I seen these like wavy lines, it kind of looks like interesting wallpaper, like maybe like Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. Like I could lick it and be like, oh, it tastes like schnozberries. But I would not have picked been like, this is worth $88,000.
Oh my gosh, I know. All credit to our restore staff with their those keen eyes.
Those keen eyes, yeah. You have to always like scratch underneath the paint and be like, what Rembrandt is underneath here?
Right.
All right, Jake Brandt, thank you so much for joining us. Can't wait to have you back.
Thank you so much.
Have a great day. All right, we'll be back in just a minute to talk about UW majors. Which ones are hot, which ones are not. This is As Goes Wisconsin. If you went to a 2-year school, 4-year school, what did you major in and what do you do now? 844-967-2789. If you have any higher education, what did you focus on and how does that compare to what you do now? 844-967-2789. We are going to talk about that for the rest of today's show because they recently published what the hottest majors are at UW-Madison.
All right.
And I thought it would just be interesting as we talk about higher education, its value, what kids are studying, what helps them get the job. But then also thinking back to when we interviewed Professor John Shelton up at UW-Green Bay and his newest book that talks about kind of the shift that happened of us thinking that going to college should, its purpose is to get you a job. And I think it kind of brings up, is that a good thing or a bad thing? So that we'll get to that in just a second. I wanted to wrap up our conversation about recycling, though.
Yeah.
Because at the top of the hour, we did a Washington Post quiz trying to help us learn a little bit more about what you should throw in your recycling bin at home, or I guess also at your office. And I learned a lot. Jane crushed the quiz. Although we have for your perfect score, we got to do one more.
Okay.
So question 8 of 8, which handy slogan helps consumers know whether something should go in their recycling bin? A, if in doubt, throw it out. B, want to win, chuck it in. C, mixing it up. Never stress, just take a guess.
Those are all stupid. I don't like any. I'm not picking any.
I don't like any of them.
I refuse.
You refuse? You're going to go 7 out of 8?
I am. I refuse to pick one of those stupid slogans.
All right. I'm going to pick for you. I think it's going to be if in doubt, throw it out.
Okay.
Which it is.
It is.
Which is kind of a bummer because you just feel so wasteful. Sometimes I have stuff and I'm like, really? I just have to throw this in the garbage and it's just going to go where?
Well, and that just gives everybody a blanket pass to just toss everything in the garbage because we can't take the time to look at the bottom to see what numbers printed on it.
I know. But it's also the question of, like, this feels like it shouldn't just end up in a landfill, so what do I do with it? But this is what they have to say. So can the no longer wanted thingamabob you're holding in your hand be recycled? Hard to say. So just drop it in there just in case. Do not do that. One mistake won't doom your bin contents to the landfill, but regularly putting items in the bin because you hope they might be recyclable is called wish cycling.
Wish cycling.
And it's the cause of a lot of contamination that makes recycling more costly and less efficient. About 17% of what arrives at sorting facilities is contamination and has to go to the landfill as trash. It's much better to throw out something you're not sure about than to risk adding more contamination to the mix.
I suppose.
Which is kind of a bummer.
Yeah, that is a bummer. We can do better. 844-967-2789. If you want to check in on recycling, you can call and or text. If you want to check in about what your major was when you went to school, 2-year college, 4-year college, we're talking about that too. From the 414 in the city of Milwaukee, 1, 2, and 5 are all recyclable.
Good to know.
And also from the 414, most of the hot bar foods I've gotten have been a number one or a peat container.
What's a peat container?
I don't know what a peat container is. If you reasonably clean those, they are among the plastics that are usually actually recycled. Well, thank you for that, 414. Because I thought that those hot bar containers were not.
Well, and also it makes me think about the cardboard containers from like Whole Foods salad bar, but they have a plastic lining so it doesn't just, your wet food doesn't just immediately drip through.
Right.
They have very good mac and cheese, so I know this firsthand. So I would assume you can still recycle the cardboard even though it has a plastic lining, but those are the questions that this quiz did not answer. And so I'll have to do further research to find out.
844-967-2789. Anytime you want to check in, you can call and or text.
And right now we're asking you, what did you major in and what do you do now? I majored in, the program I did at Berkeley was called Interdisciplinary Studies. And the program was set up that you had to combine courses from at least three different majors. And you had to write like an honors thesis, kind of encapsulating
all three
something. So I did that because at first I thought I was going to do gender women's studies. And then I got there and I was like, this is probably not going to get me a job.
And I would like to get paid one day.
And so I was like, all right, I'm going to add some other things to this that seem a little bit more application. Because I would say one thing, and I did not go to UW-Madison or any of the UW schools. I was in the UC system in California. And I would say my impression at the time when I got to Berkeley was that everything was very theory heavy. As far as the academia of anything you were studying was not necessarily application of those things.
Not anything you could actually put into practical use.
Yes. And so even the stuff that I added was still not, like, didn't prepare me necessarily for a job. So I added public health, and I certainly wasn't ready to, like, just go work in public health by the time I was done with school. And I also did political science classes. And then I had a minor of public policy. Public policy actually probably was the most applicable as far as actually learning how to write policy briefs.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And probably could have led to some kind of government job as far as that. Not like actually being in charge of anything, but at least knowing how to format things. And then my thesis was on the impact microfinance has on maternal mortality in developing countries. And big shock, it's a positive correlation. when you give women money and control over the finances in their home, they die less than they do otherwise.
Amazing.
So, big shock.
Yeah, that's amazing.
And then my first job out of school was at a Salesforce.com consulting company.
Which literally had nothing to do with anything that you studied.
Not at all. I would say this job now is probably the closest thing I have to using what I learned in college, just because we talk about such a variety of things.
True.
And I would say that major helped me become a critical thinker. I certainly became a better writer. I got to take a lot of interesting different things, some of which I still call on today. But I would say my jobs at the Salesforce consulting company, then in tech and sales and marketing and everything, the writing helped.
I'm sure.
Critical thinking helped. But as far as the actual things I learned being applied into B2B SaaS, not so much. Not so much. What did you major in college? Or if you went to a two-year school, what was your focus? I don't know. Is it called a major when you just do 2 years? You do some kind of focus, though.
You would have to.
And then what do you do now? Mostly asking, like, how much did it prepare you for your job? And because we're talking about this because this last month, they put out the hottest majors at the University of Wisconsin right now.
All right.
And I think in general, with all the complaints sometimes you hear when we have the conversation around how expensive school is, student debt, who's responsible for it, and just, you know, a lot of times I think it gets thrown out there as far as, you know, these kids in their liberal arts majors. And the truth is, it's not actually the case anymore. And this is what I'm going to read is specifically from Wisconsin. But in general, liberal arts degrees have gone down. So people who are doing poetry and English and history and the things that, like, all right, if you're going to actually use this, you're basically
joining academia.
Yeah, you're going to go to academia.
Yep.
So number five at UW-Madison is global health.
Oh.
So it's housed under the College of Agricultural and Life Sciences. Global health majors study bioscience and public health as they intersect with climate change, food systems, disease ecology, and other issues. Their goal, to improve access to and awareness of health, whether the across the ocean or in their own backyard. That's a pretty interesting major.
That is an interesting major, and it certainly is only going to become more and more critical as time goes on.
And it's pretty new. It was only first offered in 2019. And so rose in popularity very quickly. Number four, tried and true, psychology.
Huh.
Does that surprise you?
It does. It really does. Although I know we certainly need more mental health experts. You know, there's a cry for that all across the country. So that's good.
But so psychology majors are in high demand as mental health continues to be an intensifying concern worldwide. This program gives students the skills they needed for a variety of careers, including healthcare, law, business, and education. So there you go. That's number four. Number three, consumer behavior and marketplace studies. So this is in the School of Human Ecology, and it's a program that helps students positively influence global commerce and technology from a people-first perspective, blending business, analytics, and technology with creativity and empathy.
Okay.
I was going to see how you react to this one.
I'm not even sure what you just said means, so that would probably not be the major for me.
I feel like this is how it feels as broad as like a marketing major or like a communications major. Maybe a little bit more specific.
Isn't
but
it about selling stuff?
It kind of sounds like Capitalism 101. You're like, how do we, global commerce is selling stuff, technology. I mean, I guess there's a people first perspective, but certainly this feels like, oh, you're going to go work for like a company that sells stuff.
Around the world.
Around the world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It just sounds fuzzier the other way.
It's marketed very well,
it
shockingly.
Is. Yes.
We're talking about majors and right now the top five majors at UW-Madison. With a bigger conversation around what did you major in and what do you do now? I shared that my major certainly was not using, I'm not doing public health, I'm not doing women's studies, and I'm not doing policy. Although, but I think I use a lot, policy stuff I feel like still helps me.
Without a doubt, you are far better versed in that area than I am. And it has to be from some of your schooling, just about tax laws and just, You have a much better grasp of very complicated legal things.
Thanks.
You do.
Thanks. All right.
And just civics, too, I think, in general.
Well, that was not necessarily from college. That stuff just is like, especially local stuff, local and state civics, I'm sure I learned in high school, but it didn't stick with me in the way that, like, it's only in since 2020, 2016, getting so much more into politics that I, like, relearned all this
stuff. Well, good for you.
So, all right. Number two, computer science.
Not a shock.
Not a shock. Computer science is not only one of the fastest growing majors, but one of the largest, designed to help students thrive in a digital age. The UW recently redeveloped all entry-level courses and hired more faculty to keep up with demand. And in a very similar vein, number one is data science. Do you even know what that is? Your face is...
They're analyzing data?
That is a good... Yes. That's a good way to use your context clues to come up with that answer.
Thank you.
Like computer science, data science is part of the New School of Computer, Data, and Information Sciences, which was formed in 2019 to combine statistics, computer sciences, and the iSchool with new majors in emerging fields. And that is actually a big one because you think about how much data is created every second, every minute, and how much data is constantly being collected, by every company that is using that data to then make decisions.
Right.
And so being able to help understand and do stuff with that data is a very, very valuable skill. So I just look at this list and I don't see a lot of like, you know, soft liberal arts,
like squishy
majors, which, you know, some might argue is we still need those people, right? We still need people who want to be creating art, who want to be analyzing literature and
who
stuff like
be
that.
Teachers.
But the thing is, there's still a lot of people who are like, I'm getting my bang for my buck and trying to take classes that will prepare me for my job. All right, we'll keep this conversation going when we come back. This is As Goes Wisconsin. Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinair. What did you major in and what do you do now? And how similar, how much do you feel like what you studied, whether directly or indirectly, helps you? 844-967-2789.
We have a text from the 414. My major was economics. My career, I'm an investment analyst.
All right.
There
that's
you go.
That's pretty direct, yes. I would say.
Yeah, definitely.
On the live stream from Josh Egan, said, both my wife and I have a BA in photography. She's now learning management system admin, and I do website training and support. So not even close to anything we went to school for years ago.
Yeah, you have to, I mean, again, the advent of the computer and personal computers and all of that has just really changed the trajectory for so many people.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and it's also just the job opportunities. And like, it's interesting with photography, similar to painting, similar to theater, really. It's like this, the danger of, you know, follow your passion or do what you love and you'll never work a day in your life. That is some BS.
Big time.
Because if you are an actor, or if you are a dancer, if you are anything that you are an artist who is trying to monetize your skill, you work and you have to do a lot of things you don't like to do. And you have to work with clients that you don't necessarily like. And so there is a lot of aspects to that, that just because you like a certain part of it does not mean you like all of it.
Right.
And that you're not working. And so some of the other ones, the top 10, I thought I'd list out for, because we were talking about the top most popular, I said this as a joke, I said the hottest UW majors, but hot is in most popular, not which majors have the best looking co-eds.
I didn't think that that's
oh,
where
that's
you
not
were
where
going.
Your brain went?
That
no?
is not
okay.
where my brain
I think,
went.
I think some people might have, depending on where their brain goes. But the other five to round out the top 10, number six was mechanical engineering.
Okay.
Which sounds mind-numbing.
Smart. Well, sounds very smart.
Sounds very smart. Number seven was health promotion and health equity. I feel like that's probably what Erica Olivier, the commissioner, the deputy commissioner from Milwaukee Health Department, probably. I don't know if she majored in that, but that seems like that's
right
the kind of job that you would end up
without
getting.
Without a doubt.
She was great. They were both great.
Yes.
That program sounds really fascinating. Number eight was business supply chain management. Number nine, computer engineering. Number 10, personal finance, which is
an investment advisor, right?
Like a financial advisor. And so it's interesting if that is housed under business or if it's its own thing. But actually, and maybe we'll talk a little bit more about this tomorrow, the Assembly has reintroduced, speaking of personal finance, the Assembly has reintroduced a bill requiring financial literacy class as a graduation requirement for Wisconsin high schools, which is something I could very much get behind.
Yeah.
I think would be very important.
Yep.
I think maybe more than one would be very important because you forget some of that stuff.
Well, and just to teach what interest rates mean and the impact of interest rates and how wonderful it is just to put something on a charge card. However, there's this little caveat. And I think the clearer we can make that, for kids who are going to be, you know, going on to adulthood, I think that's critically important.
Yes.
Right.
Like, you know, maybe like take this personal finance class before you sign on for your student loans.
That would be a very...
And have it understand, like, if this is the rate you're signing up for,
yep,
this is how it will accumulate. And
compare that to what your hopefully future job is going to pay you.
Yeah. Well, and who knows what their future job will be.
Right.
Right. Like, you change right. your mind if you go to school, like... People change their majors all the time.
Sure, sure.
And but just as far as trying to wrap your head around those numbers, and so you're not just making a decision blind, because that was what you do. You go to the best school you get into, you figure out how to make it work financially, no matter what the outcome is on the other side of it, right? And so I thought that was super interesting.
844-967-2789. If you want to tell us what you went to school for and what you do now, from the 608, says, I went to school for nursing and I am a nurse.
That is probably as about direct as you can possibly get.
Definitely. And thank you for being a nurse.
Yes. Thank you for being a nurse.
So many jobs that I just... would not be capable of.
Well, it's that, but it's also, you know, and we're not going to have time to really get into it, but in the same vein of this topic, I found an op-ed in the Harvard Crimson. So that is Harvard's newspaper. And it's talking about, this was from 3 days ago, and talking about how between consulting, so going to McKinsey, like the top four big consulting organizations or companies, finance, and tech, 58% of Harvard graduates go into those three fields.
Wow.
And he writes it, I'll put it in today's show notes, like he writes it without judgment, but as far as like, is this a good thing, is this a bad thing, but more of just like looking at the numbers and looking at why this has changed over time. And I think that stat on its own, as far as society, like, it would be interesting to see how that translates to not only the other Ivy Leagues, but most of the major universities, of this desire to go into jobs that make you the most amount of money as soon as you graduate. And so in jobs like all these other jobs that we feel like there's shortages in right now, that takes more schooling,
mm-hmm,
or more degrees or more certifications, that, like, we need people there, and we don't necessarily need more iBankers. I'm sorry. Like, we just don't. And we don't need more, like, minions at McKinsey doing Excel sheets like a master, like a jitsu master on a little spreadsheet. Like, you go help people in other ways. So, but I get the draw, the individual draw, to be like, well, they're going to pay me like six figures and I'm 23. And
yeah.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, I can see
I get
that.
It. It just sometimes it feels like it's incentivizing the different things that not the right things that we need to be a functioning society. But that is how we're ending on today's No Sour Ha Ha Fun Time Hour, which is not that fun, but that's okay.
It's fine.
All right. Well, thank you for listening. Thank you for calling. Thank you for texting. Today just flew by, but we will be back tomorrow to do it all again. This has been As Goes Wisconsin.
Look at here, babe. That's all she got to do. Call my name, yeah. Fuck with reaction. Yeah, 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 yeah. Now, don't you ever
Thank you for listening to As Goes Wisconsin, available on Spotify, Apple, Google, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Please subscribe and leave us a rating. As Goes Wisconsin is a product of Civic Media and airs live across Wisconsin Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Civic Media is a statewide network of radio stations broadcasting local news, local sports, thoughtful commentary, and hand-picked music. We are always streaming on the Civic Media app. Find out where you can listen on the air or learn more about Civic Media and sponsorship opportunities by going to our website, civicmedia.us. We thank you for listening.